And a good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in to Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can catch us on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick here with you. Darren McFarland will join us momentarily. Elijah Campbell on the ones and twos behind the glass. Willie, how you doing?
I'm pumped up. Ready it's October. It's October. Great baseball games last night. It's opening night for the NHL. You had a great Monday night football game last night. Life is good, man. Yeah. There's no shortage of fun stuff. I mean, this is a great time to be a sports fan.
Greatest sports month of the year.
I agree.
I agree. Some people will say
I'm an October guy. March Madness would be a close second, but this is it for me.
Yeah, I love October. So lots to get into today. You mentioned, you know, right as we went off the air yesterday, we were watching the Braves and the Brewers. And do I hear Darren?
Yep.
Oh, he's made it. He's here.
Literally, as I was, we've had some outages in the neighborhood all morning, and it's been kind of a scramble mode to see. They would give us a different time every time, of course, right? Oh, it'll be back in 15 minutes. Oh, wait a minute. It's going to be 2 hours. No, wait a minute. Adjusted time, 30 minutes. No, looks like noon. Oh, wait a minute. 9:30. I mean, it's just so that's what it's been all morning. And literally, as I was like, well, I'm just going to head on in. I'll be late with you guys. And sure enough, it popped on at 3 minutes before the show. So
it's on for now.
There you go.
No, it's back.
Oh, it's back.
We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
Are you sure?
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know for sure, but okay. I feel good.
I'll let everybody know. We just ran out to get cupcakes for you. So, I'll let them know not to worry about it. So.
Well, that's too bad. I miss cupcakes.
I mean, we knew you were coming in, so just figured get some cupcakes.
Well, that would have been nice. I've had a lot of cupcakes over the last couple of days because of Maddox's birthday.
So now, was it yesterday or today?
Well, today is actually.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yep.
Today. This is the Big Ten.
Double digits.
Yep. We went to Chewy's last night for his birthday and then took him to Go USA to let him just go crazy and play putt-putt and do go-karts and video games and all that good stuff. And we were just sitting there talking, and I think I've told this story before, but Chewy's in Midtown, which I'm assuming is still there,
oh, yeah.
They were having their VIP opening back. I think that was the first Chewy's in town. I think that's right. So this would have been obviously 10 years ago. And we got invited, and ironically, we were sitting next to a table next to R.A. Dickey and his family. But that was Lauren's last meal, and we were kind of laughing about it last night. I think that's why we wanted to go to Chewy's last night, because that was literally her last meal. And then it was like, oh, I think it's baby time. I think he's coming. So
well,
it's hard to believe it's been 10
years.
Don't
they say that Mexican food can kind of help with that?
Well, Mexican food can help with a lot of things. Yeah.
So there you go.
It's been known to do that for a lot of things.
Well, happy birthday, Maddox.
Yeah, happy birthday to the
youngster. It was big party Sunday afternoon at 4:30 after the Titans game. So everybody was in a good mood, and Titans had won. And so, yeah. So he got to, there's a Sky Zone down in Murfreesboro. We'd never been there before. It's crazy, man. It's one of those trampoline parks. They're crazy. Just turn them loose. It's great for parents. I'm sure Willie's been through all this stuff. You just turn them loose and just let them go, man. And then by the end of the day, you know, they've sweated through everything. They're ready to settle down. But yeah, so it's been good. Been a weird morning, kind of like last night. If anybody could see our group text exchange,
oh man,
they would have enjoyed that. That was
well, which
that
one?
That was good stuff.
You mean the underdogs one?
The underdog ones,
yeah,
with
yeah,
Kelly Holcomb and Chris Sanders. You're talking about an emotional roller coaster ride for Chris Sanders, man. But he started the whole thing, you know. The minute the Colts scored, he was on it. He was like telling us how Indy was going to win that game and how he's going to have his first underdog win, and away we went. And as you know, the rest is history.
Let's put this in context for the listeners, because it was in the third quarter, I believe, and let's get the timestamp here. It was 9:23 p.m. Chris Sanders sends the Barack Obama mic drop gif and says, "Good night, Kelly, Chase, and Darren. And to all, a good night. The comeback begins." And
it was 22-3 at the time.
22-3. And Darren, you gave him a congrats, but there was some chirping still, but it's like, okay, it's looking like he's gonna get the win. And then if we publish this, it would be hilarious because you would laugh at just the emotions of one Chris Sanders. And the last text was, "Wow, unreal, football stinks."
Yeah, what about the one before that, though? I think that was before. Well, the one where I screenshotted that text
read. Yes, you did. Freezing cold takes. Yeah, that
was
good.
We've all seen that Twitter handle.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's several people that are on that today because they were all about, oh, don't sleep on the Colts. The Colts are alive. Here we go.
I really think the Colts will still get back into the race. I may be crazy, I do think I was convinced they were going to win the game. They looked really sharp from the start. That was a nightmare for them, and I think it came down to one big thing, is they had a rash of injuries in the secondary, and they could not man up. They just played zone and got absolutely shredded. Like, they just kept backing up and backing up. How many times did Lamar Jackson hit the underneath guy, and there was nobody 10 yards on either side of him?
Did Mark Andrews have 20 catches or 30 catches? I lost count.
Him and the running back, even like Devontae Freeman. I haven't seen him play that well in a long time, but nobody was covering him.
Yeah.
Nobody. It's like you could have swung it out to me, and I could have gotten a couple yards just with nobody covering me. I would have gotten smashed eventually, but, you know, like when you run out and nobody's covering you, like you just have to catch the ball. You're going to get some positive yards. So that was rough. That being said, I still think the Colts are going into the easier part of their schedule. I still think they're going to hang around in this race. I am not giving up for them being dead. It's a long, long season.
A loss like that takes a lot out of you, though.
But there's a long way to go.
And you'd have to admit, that is that stat not unbelievable they showed last night? I mean, since they've been the Indianapolis Colts, they've never lost a game like that ever.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, you would just think, like, how 121-0 when leading by 16 or more in the fourth quarter. They've never gagged a game away by leading 16 or more points. And I guess there's a first for everything because it happened last night.
Yeah. I mean, you got to give credit to Baltimore for not giving up either. I mean, Lamar was just playing his heart out and let him back. So
when he couldn't hold on to the football, my goodness.
I know. That's golly, something they got to figure out, because that has been showing its ugly head.
How about the overall drama of the Ravens? Think about the game, and a lot of them have been in the full spotlight, full national television, the only game on. But the Raiders' crazy game that they lost, it's the only game they've lost. The win against KC, where they had to get the fumble at the end where it looked like they were dead, and they come out of that one. Last night, plus the 66-yard field goal.
Yeah.
So they have played in some very dramatic games.
Well, don't forget, if you want drama, if you want, you know, a team to pay, something's going to happen. Don't forget, they kept what alive last week when the game was over.
Their
100-yard rushing streak.
Oh, yeah, some more drama.
By the way, they had the chance to break the record. You know, they're tied with the Steelers, and they didn't even get it last night. All that drama,
wow.
And they didn't even get it last night.
Hmm.
And it didn't matter because their quarterback was, what was he? What did he have, like 33 for 36 or 34 for 38? Like, it was
an 86% completion percentage and three for like 440 yards.
That's never happened. Yeah, that's never happened.
I do want to bring up something with overtime, because we've talked a lot about overtime and the rules with overtime, but there was one thing that immediately stood out to me last night, and we can talk about this more in depth later, but I just wanted to run it by you guys. There's one rule with overtime that I'm wondering if it gets addressed soon, just because of a certain sponsorship thing that the NFL and the teams have with all these sports books. What is something when you score a touchdown in overtime that you don't do?
Don't kick the field goal.
You don't kick the point. And last night, you know what the line was for? Now, some people got it at 7.5, but it was 7 for a long time, and that would have been a push.
But oh, 6.5,
but
too,
that's
early,
consistent.
For all week, yeah, during the week.
They've always done that.
No, I know. Time, right? I know, but does it? Do you guys think that maybe it changes because these sports books that are spending a lot of money with the NFL now with sponsorship go, hey, you know?
I don't think so. I think they stay consistent because, at least this is how I see it. You guys may see it differently. We know that there's been a substantial amount of gambling. Like, gamblers have dealt with this.
Sure.
Going back to 19-whatever, just 1980, 1990, pick a year. You agree, Darren, or you disagree? Like, they've never kicked the overtime.
Yeah, but it's also – gambling's been around, but it hasn't
been
legal.
That was when it was taboo. Yeah. That's –
it's legal. But it's still consistent. It's understood that you don't do it. So
it's not only accepted, it's embraced in the sport now because all these arenas or stadiums and billboards and everything is their shows, their pregame, okay, their postgames. They're all sponsored by DraftKings.
Okay, so the extra point in overtime will be sponsored by DraftKings. We're going to line up. This means nothing except for the gamblers. No. And this extra point is brought to you by DraftKings.
Well, I'm sure that there's a certain announcer that would, for well, sure. Brent Musburger
couple,
would love to announce
couple,
that.
Yeah, Al Michaels might too. I don't know.
You're right, Al Michaels. You're right. That's a good one. No, I'm not saying that the extra point be sponsored. I think Chase is bringing up, do you think because of the money element that's involved, which is heavy, 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 this is a lot
but it doesn't,
of money, does that influence them to make them go out there and kick the extra point?
I don't think so, because as many people will be affected positively as negatively based on the extra point. It's just the luck of the draw. It's just the way they've always done it. Like, you could lose because the guy kicks the extra point just as easily as you could win if the guy kicks the extra point.
Correct. But so number one, no offense to you, I hate the phrase the way they've always done it. I mean, I get it, but things have to change.
But why? It makes no difference in the game. The game is over.
No, I understand.
It's only for gambling purpose?
Right, but these companies are spending a lot of money now.
But what's in it for them? It doesn't matter.
Right,
their
customers.
What's in it? Their customers.
Some customers.
Some customers, yes. Some customers, no.
Some customers, there would be an equal amount of people that don't want you to kick the extra point as do.
I understand.
So what does it matter? It doesn't affect the game.
But my take on it has always been.
What if one of their customers bet $300,000 on the Ravens the Colts, and instead that extra point is a push rather than the book having to pay out the $300,000?
That's life. That's they've been dealing with this
as
long as they've
been right
gambling.
But that's not a business approach. Like, when you open up the book, it doesn't say, well, that's life, business,
okay,
deal with it.
Yeah, but the next week it could be the opposite. It could be you have the push if they don't kick the extra point, and if they kick the extra point, you got to pay out the $200,000. It's just it's just random. It could happen either way. Drew?
Yeah, of course.
So why change the way it's been done for forever when it's pointless, no pun intended, to kick for the extra point once the game's over?
I'm not saying it's going to. I'm just simply saying it is an interesting point to bring up. I don't think. Anymore, I don't think really in life it ever applies to say, well, that's just how we've done it, because that just really isn't true about anything anymore. So I don't know why we use that as a phrase, like, well, that's just how we've done it. Well, that's not really true. Like, nothing has remained the same over 100 plus years since something has been in existence. It's everything changes. So, you know, everything can change, just like when college football used to do ties and now they could do 7 overtime games.
But
now
there's
a runner at second base and base. I mean, nothing has remained the same. I mean, literally nothing in this world has remained the same for the last 100 years.
But there's
nothing.
No reason to kick the extra point.
But why do they kick?
For the game itself, zero.
I understand. Like, it doesn't change anything. But,
no.
But
so they're
consistent,
not. They shouldn't
but,
do it.
But I'm all
it
about.
It's a bad look, I think, if you're only doing it for gambling.
Well.
That's not what the NFL wants.
But why do you do it the rest of the time? Like, it just be consistent. Like, at least in college, like, if you score in overtime, if it's the end, you still kick the point.
No, you don't. Not in overtime. If you get a game-winning touchdown in overtime, you don't kick the extra point.
I thought you did.
I don't think so. Do you?
Say that again?
In
college,
overtime,
if you get a game-winning touchdown, you don't kick the extra point, do you?
No, you do not.
Well, you should.
You do not.
You should.
You should.
But, Chase, I'm telling you, you're going to win one of these times because they don't kick the extra point, and you're going to change your thinking.
I already have. No,
you're going to be really excited about this.
I have won, and I have lost by okay. this rule.
That's my point. It's going to continue like even if they start kicking the extra point. It's going to continue. Sometimes you're going to win. Sometimes you're going to lose. Just like my man Kevin Mitchell saying in the 30 for 30. Somebody got to win. Somebody got to lose.
I understand. But I wonder if that's something that's going to come up.
I don't think it will, but it is an interesting conversation. I don't think it's enough to change it. But I'll say this, because it really doesn't affect the outcome of the game.
It serves no purpose at all.
It's just for gambling purposes, but you know, the reality is they're all cashing those checks from all these outlets.
Oh, yeah.
They're cashing these big checks. And it's important. It's vitally important to them. Look, it's vitally important to places like us. It just is. I mean, we provide a free service. We are paid to try to entertain and inform you for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. And how many things in life are free? This service is free. People who listen to us, we don't ask them for anything. We ask them to listen. We ask them to support our sponsors, but because of those sponsors, that's the reason we can provide a free service. It's vitally important to us. Well, those checks are vitally important.
Yes.
To people like Bud Walters and our sales staff.
I am 100%.
Dennis Argea.
I am agreeing with
important.
You 100% on that. But
so
I don't
I'm not
going
to poo-poo those services because it's important to what we do.
Of course.
And to the NFL.
That's not what's at stake, in my opinion. It's because I still am trying to get from you guys a reason why it changed it. Half the people are going to win.
The reason is
half
money
the people are going to lose.
That's the reason.
And then
talks.
The other half of the people, I said, yes, three halves, whatever. Whatever the percentage is of a push, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be what it is,
sure.
Regardless if you kick the extra point or not. So I don't see why the gambling – is there some gambling service I'm not aware of that's saying, hey, please, guys, will you kick the extra point at the end of the game?
Let me ask you
this. Are they doing that? I don't
know. Who has all the power in big football schools? Who has all the power? Answer that.
Boosters.
Thank you, Chase. I was asking it to Willie.
Sorry.
But yes, that is correct. Why do they have the power? Why do they have all the power? Why do they have say? So they're boosters. They have no affiliation. They're not employed by the school. Why do they have power? Why? Just answer the question. Why?
I know why. What does that have to do with kicking the extra point at the end of overtime? It has nothing to do with it.
These companies are basically boosters to the league. That's my point. They have say.
Are these boosters saying, please kick the extra point at the end of overtime? I don't think – there's no evidence that they do because it doesn't matter. It's going to be arbitrary. Chase is going to come in here a winner or a loser if he has a bet on the game that goes to overtime. Sometimes he'll be lucky. They score, and it's a good thing they don't kick the extra point in overtime. And other times, I really wish they kicked the extra point because I would have won. That's what you get when you gamble.
I understand.
That's what you get.
I understand.
We've all seen the crazy people in the sports back when they used to let you smoke in the sport. There was always the guy at the end smoking the cigarettes, just so nervous. Oh my gosh, if they kick a field goal here, it's over. Even if the score ends up being 24-13 instead of 24-10, that's just the nature of gambling.
Significant for
some. You can change the scoring around all you want, but it's still going to be the same thing.
So you just stereotype gamblers or smokers. Is that what you just did? Is that
exactly,
that's exactly what you just did?
Can
back
I get
in the
that
day.
7.5? Give me the Raiders.
back
I really
in the
need
day. Field goal here.
Well, those are the most amusing gamblers to watch.
I do remember meeting meeting my dad's bookie at one time, and he fit that stereotype. So there you go.
Oh, we can laugh because there's doubt.
It's legal now, so we can. Yeah, those people don't have to hide anymore.
Yeah, no.
Well, no, it's not legal for bookies. It's not.
You're right. You're right.
It's not. It's for the sports books. It is.
Right.
Yes.
But sometimes, and we've all seen these stories, right, where a play in a game at the end of the game, millions of dollars, depending on, and you know, this is a Monday night game. I mean, there's a lot of money wagered on a Monday night NFL game. A lot. It's a standalone game. It's at the end of the week. It's when everybody's trying to either, you know, bet because they had a great weekend and they got all kinds of money to play with, or they're trying to get it all back. It's a dangerous game that you're playing on Monday
Very
night football,
true.
But it's the NFL and there's a lot of money being exchanged and, you know, an extra point. What if, you know, it changes, you know, $2 million for a book? Like it changes hands because of that extra point, $2 million.
And think about how many times
it happens all the time,
right? But
regardless of what the rules are, if you could have 4 points for a field goal instead of three, it would be the same thing, the same amount of times. It's just arbitrary.
I understand.
Now, what Darren's saying with the boosters, that's a different thing. Where, hey, coach, man, you guys know you're 15.5 points favorites. So you guys are up by 11 right now. There's 2 minutes left. Let's go ahead and score. Like that to me, is probably a real thing.
Oh,
like that,
no, oh, no doubt.
Really?
I'm sure.
There's no doubt.
I'm sure the coach. Happens. Like, when you're way ahead, like if it's a close game, I'm sure he's not thinking about it. But in a situation like that, I don't think there's any question that probably goes on. But I don't think the extra point in an overtime is something that gamblers or people say, please do this.
But think about this. If you're one of the books, okay, a lot of times, like last night, like again, it was – some people got it at 6.5. Some people got it at 7. I will be
– and that's usually the case.
Full disclosure.
Right? Any one game, it could be a half a point
correct.
Different, a point, no matter what.
But full disclosure, I had the Ravens at 7.
Okay.
If they had kicked the point, it would have been a push.
Yeah.
Which is not a loss for anybody. Right. And so even if you're a book, which I get it, you don't have to tell me. The books aren't hurting for money. Chandeliers everywhere.
Go to Vegas. You'll see.
Like, yeah. Understand. But if you're the book, I mean, don't you kind of look at it that way, too? Of like, well, hey, you know, a push. Okay, we'll take
the push.
On that
night, but next Monday could be the opposite.
I get it, but.
So then what? So what? I don't. That's the end of the conversation.
But
you can't change
it
based on the situation.
It's just consistency. It's just you kick the point every other time.
No, you don't. Not in the NFL. You've never kicked the extra point in overtime.
I'm talking about in regulation time. Normal time. Like you kick
Chase,
it. Just
I know you're sad.
It.
I know you're sad that you didn't get the push last night. You're bitter.
And Willie's laughing at
you. I'm really hoping next week.
I have a shirt on. Okay,
yes, that's good. That's the first thing I try to look for every day. And I look for your caffeine intake. What do we got today?
And he's not smoking. He's not smoking.
Normal,
that's good.
We got the coffee and cherry Coke thing going.
Just
here.
So you know, Willie.
Oh, you have the coffee and the cherry Coke again?
Yes.
The booster making the call. If you remember in the movie The Blind Side.
Yes.
That was a high school team, and she made the call, right?
She did make the call.
During the game.
Oh, yeah.
Run the ball.
She did.
And he hung
she
up
was
on
pretty
her.
Tough. She was pretty tough in that movie. She had some pull.
So, okay, a lot of people.
So, hold on. Steve is on. Is Steve on the line? So I don't
know. We have a ton of texts, too, that want to weigh in on this.
Steve has been waiting patiently. Steve, welcome.
Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hello?
Is
this
Stanford Steve?
Yep,
that's
go ahead.
Stanford Steve, is it?
All right, I'm sorry for the – I'm on my car. Hey, I was going to ask or talk about the issue on the overtime, but first of all, let me say, go Hawkeyes, being one of the biggest Iowa fans in Music City.
All right.
Can't talk enough about how great the Hawkeyes are looking. So,
they're
you know,
playing
keep
great.
Keep them in mind for the championship game. Now,
new blood.
I'm sorry?
New blood. I love there's new blood in the hunt right now.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I was rooting for him. I had him in pick six on Friday.
I remember that, and you know the fact that they've got the easier schedule being in the West. You know, it's all going to come down to who they're going to play in the championship game in Indianapolis. And the only team I really don't want to face right now is Penn State, even if Clifford's not back, because they're going to be very motivated to kick the Hawks' butt. But I was going to just keep Iowa in mind for national picture. Now,
okay.
as far as the overtime thing, you know, it would be nice for them to kick the extra point, but that would be until Roger Saffold or Tyler Lewan gets hurt blocking, or somebody on the defensive side, Simmons, gets hurt rushing to block a point after, and that guy's season is done. You know, you talk about all the gambling money that makes a big difference. Well, that's nothing compared to somebody, if some team loses out in the playoffs or whatever to get into the playoffs because one of their star people, a guard or a rusher or whatever, hurts their knee or does an ACL or pulls a hand, whatever, because they're rushing to block or to block an extra point on an overtime game that's meaningless. I think you need to keep that in mind.
Okay. All right, Steve. Thank you for the phone call, and we'll keep charting the Hawkeyes. I don't think the players would go through the motion on that final play because the game is over. I doubt there would be any urgency. I doubt it. They would, like I said, they would probably hike it and stand up and just watch the extra point either be good, or in the case of this past week, and maybe not be good because it's a rough day for the kickers.
A little rough week for the kickers.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, look, he brings up a valid point. If that were to happen, yes, but I would be surprised if players were going for it. Like Baltimore was trying to block the field goals because the game was on the line. If the game is over, they're probably just going to go through the motions. Wouldn't we agree? I can't imagine somebody going, right? They're going to stand up, and I don't even know if they would hit each other. They'd probably just stand up the minute the ball was hiked. But it is a good point. Let's go to Dave on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Okay, so rewrite the rule, okay? The rules we play by right now is if somebody scores in overtime, it's over. It doesn't matter what kind of score it is. It's over. So adding another point is not going to change the outcome of the game. So that's why they don't add another point.
I understand that. But then,
you know, I lost a bet one time. I had one team by I gave like 5 points. And my team was at the 2-yard line with a 3-point lead. With one play left in the game, and they took a knee. Now, I can't – what's the difference? A rule is a rule, and the way the teams play the game is the way the teams play the game.
The difference is you have the ability to take the knee. That is your choice. Any other time a touchdown is scored in the league, you always kick the extra point, or you go for two.
Well, no, not – what do you mean any other time? Any other time is in regulation time.
Right.
In overtime, it's different. It's different in overtime. That's all there is to it. I mean,
we understand that. It's just bringing up the point of the gambling element. That's it.
Well, then what do you think these books are based on, either kicking or not kicking an extra point at the end of the game?
But it can change the outcome of the bet because last night, for instance, if you had the line at 7, the fact that they didn't kick the point, you lost the bet. You could have pushed.
But a lot of people won the bet.
I don't even know why I'm giving life to this discussion. It is absurd.
Well, that is your opinion, and we have our opinion. Thank you for the phone call.
Because here's the other part of this.
I mean, you don't have to agree. No, I mean, it's perfectly fine.
A lot of people don't, but I'll tell you this.
But you're agreeing based on which way you had the bet, is what I'm saying. Like, there's... For every person that would be happy to kick the extra point on a particular game, half the people would be mad that you didn't kick the extra point. I mean, it's half and half. That's the whole point of the bookie, is to balance the books. That's why you have the line as really laser focused as they do. They're so good at setting a line that this often happens. So you have 50% on one side, 50 on the other. So you could change it all you want. It's still going to be 50 and 50 whether you kick it or not.
But we can be selfish.
Right.
By the way, I don't care. I didn't bet on the game. I could care less.
And I don't, like, I Chase don't. I did. Lost last I mean, night. I don't care either. I thought this was an interesting subject to bring to the conversation. But here's another point. And most people are agreeing with you, Willie. Just so you know, I'm reading through these text messages right now. One person says, Chase keeps saying, I understand, but it's clear that he does not. I do understand. I understand what the rule is. I am simply asking, with the influence of these companies now and the amount of money that they are spending, is this something that the NFL maybe looks at in changing? They probably won't, but I'm just simply asking that question because here's another part of it that we haven't discussed yet. How many extra points were missed this weekend?
A record, NFL record.
13?
Yep, NFL record.
So even if they did kick it, it's not a given that they make it. Which I think adds another, again,
but
it doesn't change anything.
The game's over.
The game's over.
Let's go to Ricky on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Quick point. You should have teased the game like I did. Teased it down to 1 point.
Chase. I know. Should have teased it.
And I had Marquise Brown with 2 touchdowns, so that really, I hit that for 5-1. My point is, what are we going to do next? I mean, I'm dead set against this. Don't kick the point. What are we going to do next? In a shootout in hockey, you lose. It's 3-2. We say give them another chance. Let's tie the game and go again. or in baseball, change it down. You ever notice the line in baseball is always 1.5 runs so that there's not a push when a team wins by one run? There's got to be some integrity left in the game. And if you kick the field goal, the game is now just for gamblers. It's not for sport. That's just my opinion, and I disagree. We can't do it.
Okay. Thank
that's,
you, Rick.
That's a valid
He said
point.
It a lot better than I did. He put it right into
I,
him. That's
I think yeah. that is a in, integrity in the game is very, very important. So I think that, that what he just said, how he worded that, that, that's a valid point.
Let's go to Scott. Scott, you're up next. Welcome to Darren, Donick, and Chase on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to – I don't know if the college rules are different from the NFL rules, but just – I saw Vanderbilt at the end of the game against Stanford. They scored a touchdown, and they didn't kick the extra point. They scored on the last play of the game. So
yeah, and that was regulation.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But they still didn't kick it, whether it was overtime or regulation. Yep. So that's what, I'm kind of like that other caller. I don't even know why this is hitting life. I mean, it is what it is. In overtime, the history of the game, you score, the game is immediately over. Shouldn't – I mean, it's just – like Willie said, some people won, some people lost. Just like they put this stupid runner on second base in MLB baseball, and it made over-unders go through the roof. You know, you got under 8.
Oh, wow.
They go into extra innings tied at 2-2, and the final score is 9-7. And, I mean, they don't care. It is what it is. It's the rules, you know. You play by them, and you lose by them, or you win by them. So that's all I got.
Okay, good stuff.
I never thought about that, the over-under with the extra innings games.
I don't. They disagree. They're against me, and that's fine.
People have spoken.
That is an interesting point, though. The over-unders of Major League Baseball games with the second baseman guy, because you do see a lot of wacky extra innings games. Now, a team scores two in the top of the inning. The other team comes back with three.
It's no different in college football. If you've got the under in college football and it goes to overtime, you're toast. you're going to lose.
Yeah.
I don't care what your number is. You're going to lose. Because probably, you know, how many times is it just 3 points or 7 points? I mean, typically you're going to see, you know, another double-digit points put up on the board, which, you know, unless the game was 3-3 or nothing-nothing, you know, which is pretty rare in today's game, you're going to lose an over-under if it goes to overtime in college football. Because the games get out of hand. They get crazy scores.
Right. Well, I'll say this. Even though the people have spoken, they disagree
with me.
The people
have spoken, Chase, and they disagree.
And I will say that Ricky's opinion especially has swayed me a little bit. Like, he makes some very good points. So I just thought it was a good discussion. It popped in my head last night of, hey, could this ever be a thing? And so I think we've had a good talk.
I don't have a problem with you being selfish on the show. We can be selfish. You had a bet, and you would like for it to go the other way, and I'm okay with that. You know what? I'd probably be doing the same thing if I bet on it. Good for you.
Thank you.
Be selfish.
It's okay.
Like, we're not selfish in pick six.
Oh,
we're
no
silly
doubt.
Underdogs.
No doubt.
Pick six, especially because we use the line.
Shane from Ashland City. I really think y'all should get Evander Kane and get his take on this.
Oh, boy. Oh, bro.
Well, he might have some free time because I'm not sure he's going to suit up for the opening couple of games here.
I don't think so.
That guy. I mean,
he's got a list.
Do we think he's done? Done?
No. I don't think so. I heard Gary Bettman this morning. He did an interview on ESPN, and they asked him about the investigation. The investigation is ongoing.
Sure.
They've got a lot to get to. We got the vax card. We got the gambling. We got the domestic issues.
Right. But all that aside, his teammates hate him.
Well, that's like a big thing.
Other than that, he should be back.
Other than that, he's fine. Everything's fine.
So when I say, do we think he's done, I mean, yeah, like, I guess another team could take him. But if, like, this league is very tight.
I know. Nobody really is
dying. And the players all talk, and they all know each other. And if they all don't like him. And listen, you guys, we're all in circles. I've heard stuff on Evander Kane before from people.
Going way back.
Worked with teams he's been with and have told stories and like,
but it's escalated.
Not a good guy.
It's escalated.
Yeah. Look, all this stuff is not a coincidence. Yeah. The latest of him, you know, using a fake vax card. I mean, you know, if it was somebody else that doesn't have a history of all this, you'd probably give him the benefit of the doubt and say, I don't know, there must have been a mess up somewhere. But it's Evander Kane. Like, I think he's used up his. If he was a cat, he's on life 19. Who's going to believe him that he didn't do that? Like, that's just, right? He's getting framed or, like that didn't happen? I mean, It's Evander Kane. Like, he has been marred and surrounded by controversy basically his entire career. Has he not?
Pretty much.
But it's escalated.
It just goes on and on and on, whether it's gambling, whether it's domestic. I mean, it's just one thing after another. It never stops. And every time you hear him talk, it's like, I didn't do it. It's not me. I'm getting framed. Do you ever hear him own up to anything? Ever?
No.
Have you ever heard him take responsibility for anything?
I saw him lie to Linda Cohen's face.
I was going to say, did you watch the interview? Yeah. I mean, did that seem like a guy that sounds like he's done some bad, you know, or does it sound like a guy who still thinks he's innocent of everything?
Right. But here's my thing, and we're going to talk about John Gruden, obviously, but in a world that we're trying to change and leagues that are trying to change, with everything we just named with Evander Kane and that he's been guilty of, shouldn't he be done? Like, why would you want – there's no place in the game for a guy like that. If all this stuff that we've heard over the years is true, which
– But that's the thing. You've got to prove
– They've had bad eggs in sports before that were really good players and have big contracts. And rarely do they get kicked out for being bad eggs.
I get that, but things are changing.
Yeah.
Things are changing. Prime example just happened last night. Of how things are changing and just the optics of everything. So
okay,
that's
let's talk about it on the other side.
Okay.
We'll do that. John Gruden is out as the Raiders coach. But first, Willie, you're going to tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
Okay, Loan Pronto. This is something that I've been saying to take advantage of for a long time, and they have delivered this message very, very well. A lot of people are taking advantage of the low interest rates right now. And you can too. It's not too late. In fact, if your APR mortgage rate is above 2.75%, then they can really help you. Even if you refinance like 6 months ago or something like that, they'll still save you money. It's worth the refi. The numbers are in your favor right now, and Loan Pronto wants to help you take advantage of that. Remember the phone number, 615-499-5780. 615-499-5780. Pick up the phone and ask them about the very popular zero-cost refi program. No closing costs, no junk fees. They're going to get you that rate in the low twos. That's going to save you money month after month after month. And if you act right now, you even skip your next two house payments, and you can't beat that in the short term with your budget. It's awesome. So give them a call, 615-499-5780. Take advantage of the rates before they go back up. It's awesome. LoanPronto.com, 615-499-5780, Equal Housing Lender.
NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible for zero cost option.
Hey, if you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Doobie Brothers at Bridgestone Arena, that'll be on October 25th. So that is 13 days away, a little bit less than 2 weeks. Head over to YouTube. Subscribe to 1025 The Game's YouTube page. That's all you have to do. And then enter for your chance to see the Doobie Brothers. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle, and you automatically will be qualified. The winner will be chosen on Monday, October 18th. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD, products curated for life. The big news yesterday, along with all the other sports that was going on, was Gruden out as the Raiders head coach. They lose at home on Sunday to the Bears in an ugly game. And this investigation stemming back from a decade ago and emails, this is an investigation into the Washington FTs, revealed that John Gruden brought up, but what was it, 650,000 emails? Is that right?
Yeah, something like that.
Not of his, but
just the part
the
of the investigation
into Washington. Yeah,
it was
650. The train wreck of Washington.
Boy, I know. There's another one. It's like, if it's involving Washington, do they get the benefit of the doubt? Answer, no. They don't. They have a long history since Snyder's been the owner of one, you know, hiccup after another, or hiccups probably being way too nice, one thing after another. But it revealed that John Gruden used some language and derogatory remarks that he shouldn't have. A lot of it stemming with Bruce Allen, who at the time was with Washington. him and Bruce Allen are friends. So this is, of course, when Gruden was a part of the Monday Night Football crew at ESPN. So overall, what do you guys make of this story?
Well, I think it's a, you know, it's sad to see that this is how his career ends, at least for right now. But I also think that the right thing has happened here. I mean, I read the article. There obviously have been excerpts of the emails. And, you know, Willie and I were just talking about it during the break. I mean, you think about how much our world has changed in the last, really, 2 years, but 5 years, 10 years, especially. I mean, you know, if this happens, if this comes out 10 years ago when he actually wrote these emails, I mean, he gets criticized for it, obviously, but he probably survives it. It just shows you how our mindset on everything has changed, and it should change. But it's also just a prime example of the good old boy NFL and how it used to be, and the fact that now they are trying to change that and do away with that. And so I think he's done. I don't think he gets another opportunity. And, you know, you might say, well, I mean, he wasn't that great of a coach anyway this time around with the Raiders. And, you know, that's all true. But, you know, I think that this, there was no way he was going to live out that contract just based on his coaching ability.
10-year deal, $100 million.
No.
How many coaches in the NFL live that out?
Yeah, he wasn't going to live that out. But he probably could have returned to Monday Night Football or the broadcast booth and, you know, done all that. He had the commercials with Corona, and I mean, he was a huge star.
He was.
And right now, that's all gone. Now, could way down the line, a small college or something give him a chance? I don't know, but I would say probably not. And it's, you know, I also think that if you look at his press conference on Sunday after the game, if he had shown a little remorse, do we have the clip? All right, let's play this real quick.
Not a racist. I don't. I can't tell you how sick I am. I apologize again to D. Smith, but I feel good about who I am and what I've done my entire life. And I apologize for the insensitive remarks. I had I had no racial intentions with those remarks at all.
And right before that, he said, I'm not going to take a ton of questions on this. And then he said that. And
he said, because he said he had already apologized for it. He'd already addressed it.
Right.
And this is just for people that haven't followed all the details. The Wall Street Journal came out with, really, it centered in on one specific thing where there was some very derogatory and inappropriate, to say the least, comments regarding DeMora Smith, the head of the Players Association. So at that time, it was confined to that.
And Roger Goodell, by the way.
And Roger Goodell. And Roger Goodell. Right. But it was a little more of a streamlined thing. And that was the interesting thing to me, is he was gambling on some level that the rest of them wouldn't. Either he forgot that he wrote them, which I don't believe. But he had to know in the back of his mind, hey, these other ones are out there too. I wonder if that will come out. But he kind of thought this is the end of it, right? That statement would tell you that, hey, this is the end of it. Let's just go forward. I
apologize. And the Raiders kind of acted that way too.
I mean, Mike Tirico and Tony Dungy on that broadcast on Sunday night were like, well, you know, I've known him for a long time. I've never had any bad experiences with him. They gave him the benefit of the doubt. Which I do think in the whole scheme of things, there's nobody is 100% great or 100% bad all the time. There's a lot of good things about John Gruden. But once that story hit last night from the New York Times, they had no choice. I mean, it was just 7 years of all of the initiatives that the NFL and really every league in some form or fashion are trying to progress and move forward with. There was no way he could get out of that.
Yeah.
Especially after he had already said, I didn't do anything else, this is it. You know, that's
right. And clearly he did.
And it's in email, it's right there. He can't even dispute. It's all right there.
It's
in
all
the email.
In writing. So I mean it's an unfortunate situation, but I mean the right thing happened. Like he should be out. And you know, especially with like I said, the NFL trying to change that view and you know, be more welcoming. And I mean, because it was a, it wasn't just homophobic things. It was, you know,
it
women,
was the whole
and,
portfolio. Of,
yeah, yeah, just everything. Yeah. I mean, it was the good old boy old NFL, and there's just not a place for that anymore.
I think too, you know, the timeline, like you said, Chase, is interesting. 2011 through 2018. If it were further back, then there might have been room to grow to be able to say, you know what, back then there was a lot more of this going on. I've grown out of that. I've grown as a person. You could have maybe gone that route, because I think hopefully there's been a large progress. I think the league itself is having to come to grips with that. That, you know, they've been behind on some of this stuff. They're trying.
They have.
They're trying. This is what they strive to be. It's not what they have been. They have been a lot of these elements that are in those emails. It's obvious, because these are just guys exchanging emails back and forth. Two guys that are right in the middle of the NFL stuff. Bruce Allen was fired, but he was in the league for a long time. And there's probably, I'm sure, other.
Right.
You wonder in this 600,000 emails that are out there, what else is in there?
Well, and you know, you have to remember too. I mean, I don't know John Gruden. I don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy or
but we know
what.
People who know him, and nobody's ever said anything
when Mike
really
Tirico,
bad.
Yeah. When Mike Tirico took the time and said and went to bat for him, like, I listened to Mike Tirico. I respect Mike Tirico. But the thing is, like, and you guys remember a few years ago when, you know, a lot of well-known media guys they lost their job because of things in the workplace and stuff that was coming out. And, you know, there were probably some that were guilty 100% and some that, you know, maybe just made a bad comment and got caught up in it and lost their jobs. But these are the kind of
what
things.
What are you referring to? I don't know what you're
referring
to.
Do you remember when, like, Matt Lauer got fired from the Today Show with everything going on? And he was one of many that were just a lot of media people that, you know, were out because of things that were coming up in the workplace. And that was part of the change of, you know, sexual harassment and saying inappropriate things and being a part of a change, which needed to happen. It's all about changing vernacular. I mean, and understanding that, you know, there are just certain things that don't need to be said. And, you know, this is the things that he was saying in these emails, you know, unfortunately, as he came up through the league, it was probably just accepted, and, you know, you could talk that way, but you can't anymore.
Also, I think it's important to emphasize, it's very, very detailed in the New York Times article, and it's over a 7-year period. If this were just, like, you know, a string of articles back and forth, or, I mean, emails back and forth over a couple of days, then that's, and it was a long time ago, but this is a 7-year, there's a pattern there. That's hard to get away from there.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hogman is up next. Welcome in.
Hey, fellas. Hello, and happy Tuesday to you all. You know, you're doing a great job of really framing this up, because it is so true. There was a time where beliefs like this either were accepted or they weren't held accountable. And I think we have to be careful here, because we're not talking vernacular. We're not talking about, oh, he chose the wrong word. You don't say that. What we're dealing here with is a belief system in a man who is a grown adult. He wasn't 15, 14, 13, still growing and learning about the world. This guy is leading people who he is clearly disparaging. And this isn't just someone who chose the wrong words. He clearly has an issue with being a racist, a homophobe, and a misogynist. And that is just not tolerated in this world anymore. If those are your beliefs, and I'm talking to anyone, if anyone is on this topic and supporting Gruden, then they have a belief system that needs to progress. Those beliefs are not tolerated in this world anymore, and it's not cancel culture as much as it is accountability. And the league, for all the end racism, stop hate that's on helmets and end zones, Gruden's actions are completely counter to that, and they're intolerable. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the phone call.
It's a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think now one thing we're all curious about, and we were sort of texting amongst ourselves last night, is you're John Gruden. Where do you go from here? He's going to have to go
away for a little while, but he's going to have to gather himself and figure out, okay, how do I move forward with my life, number one, and how do you learn from this and maybe repair your career? Because I believe in second chances, right?
He doesn't have to work again, Willie. He's made more money than he knows
what to do with. We know that.
He doesn't have to work.
But I don't think he wants
to
just go be a hermit.
He can literally go away quietly and never be seen again.
Yeah, but I don't think that's how he wants to live his life.
And
He's certainly not going to be on the street. But I'm saying, does he want to do that? You're right, Darren. He has every right if he wants to do that.
He does not have a high-profile
job. No. He doesn't have to. But does he want to? He doesn't strike me as a guy that likes to just
You know what I hope he does? I hope he uses this to not only, you know, obviously it would help him. It would help repair his image. But I hope he does like what Kyle Larson has done. You know, Kyle Larson, a lot of people thought Kyle Larson would never get another chance, and he's probably about to win NASCAR's championship.
I love stories like that. I love stories like that because you deserve a chance to come back from what we know can happen. And sometimes it happens to people that probably don't deserve.
Yeah.
The cancel culture sometimes can be really cruel and
and
too excessive.
Right.
Right. This one is not, but. But I want it, but regardless, I do think you should be able to repair and learn from, hey, I messed up, man. And I need to change my way of thinking. If we don't leave room for people to do that, then we're never going to get anywhere.
100% right.
Look, I don't have a clue what John Gruden wants to do moving forward. He can try to work on repairing his image moving forward, or he can quietly go away and
count his money.
Never work another day in his life because he's made gobs and gobs of money. He's set for life. He literally doesn't have to pick up a finger and do another thing again. Okay, he was making gobs of money before the Raiders gig. I mean, he's making, what was it reported, $15-20 million a year between all of his endorsements and doing Monday Night Football. And how long did he do it for? I mean,
he was in the Monday Night booth for 7 years.
Well, that's when all these emails are taking place, just for people to do the timeline. Yeah.
Look, this is about, and I thought Hogman put it really well. Look, this is a guy, because you're right, Chase, I don't know if that was the word you're looking for. This is not about changing words. Remember, this is a private setting. This is him sitting in an office or at home or in his little film room, his little bunker in Tampa.
Changing mindset
he's shooting these emails, and he's speaking freely because there's no one around, and it's an email to a friend, right? So this is clearly what his mindset was, but you know, maybe I don't think he handled this particularly well with his press conference for a guy as savvy as him. But, I mean, Nassib is on a roster, correct? What roster is he on?
The Raiders.
Yeah, okay. He's on the Raiders roster, okay? Doesn't he have a couple female coaches or at least a female coach on his staff?
I think it's fair to say that the Raiders, one of the things that they have tried to pride themselves on over their existence – is they want to be that progressive, inclusive team. Like Al Davis hired.
They've had a black head coach.
The very first one. We all remember that Monday Night Football game in the late 80s where they made that move. And you know who they fired? Mike Shanahan.
That's right.
Put Al Davis. They put in Art Shell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Carl Nassib is another one. But also just that whole Raider thing, right, was – we'll take all the dregs of society. We'll take this guy, these vag of John Matuszak and Otis Sistrunk.
My dad used
to call Mark Van Egan. Guys from all different backgrounds.
I guess what I'm saying is
crazy.
Maybe he's already.
We want you there.
Maybe he's already changing a little bit, because of some of the stuff that was already going on. Because remember, this stops the time frame when he became the Raiders head coach. So maybe he's learned already a little bit. But I don't know. I don't have a clue. I know people who know John Gruden. I can pick up the phone and I can talk to him after the show and find out if we really want to delve into that. I don't know what it changes. I hope he changes. I hope that he wants to do something to repair his image. Whether he collects checks or not, whether he ever coaches again, I have no clue. You know, am I willing to sit here and say, oh, no one will ever hire him again? Hell no. Are you kidding? What proof is there of that? I mean, we've seen guys with really – really tarnished images, and they come back and they get chances. Somebody's going to hire. By the way, Kyle Larson is a great example. I mean, he was literally a leper in the sport, and look at him now.
He's probably about to win the championship.
And
he's
had to invest a lot of time, and he's done it sincerely.
That's my point.
And I think he really has taken to heart.
This is what I hope happens with John Gruden. He does that. Because you know what Kyle Larson has done? And I've interviewed him several times since then, and I've asked him every question that should be asked.
Open
and he
to talk
answers
about
them.
Absolutely.
He you doesn't know, shy away from
he
it.
Doesn't, he doesn't. He's a, and Kyle, I mean, I do know Kyle more than I know John Gruden. Kyle's a good guy. And he knows that he made a mistake, but he has faced the music. He has gone to counseling for it. He has started foundations to help, you know, to help with everything and with change. And so if Gruden does that, then, yeah, he might get another chance. But I want him to do that like Kyle has for the right reasons. And that's why the sport, including Bubba Wallace, has embraced Kyle Larson for how he has changed.
Travis, Gary, if you guys will wait through the break, we'll step away for a couple minutes, pay some bills, and we'll come back. We'll get your calls to begin the second hour if you guys will be patient enough to wait through. As you listen to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.